gopi vision. That is everything for us, how they see things. There's a literary theory for some who say, you'll realize who you are by hearing descriptions from others. That'll be your process of self-discovery. So we hear these descriptions and something resonates within you, that's you, that's the good thing. In the midst of layers of acquired prejudice and acquired tendency, when we hear these descriptions or the vision of the great devotees and something in you resonates with that, appreciates that, that's your actual self. Right? So in that sense, we're dependent upon them. We just had the good fortune, many of us, to be in Vrindavan on the Brajamandal Parikrama, and some to go to Govardhan, Radha Kunda, and so many other places. And we're told by Srinivas Acharya in his prayers, where he's identifying the qualities, characteristics, and what we should appreciate about the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who we should remember on Mahaprabhu's order, Lupta Tirtha, they revealed these holy places that were, for the most part, concealed or unknown. We take it for granted now when we go there because there are so many memorials, temples, indications, but this is all due to the order of Mahaprabhu, to Rup and Sanatana and the others, to go there and do this. On one level, they were not, it's a complicated situation to understand when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, in essence, rather than being with me, I want you to go here and do this. Rupa Goswami has to hear that, Sanatana Goswami, Prabhu, we're told. Rupa Goswami is fainting at the idea that he will have to serve in separation from Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu is saying, no, and in doing this, you'll realize my association more than you can imagine. So it's mystical, and that spiritual association does not take place in terms of physical proximity, but internal aspect. The similarity of internal aspect, internal culture. So repeatedly in those prayers written by Srinivas Acharya, he's saying things like, Gopi Bhava Rasamritam Dilahari Kalola Magno Muhur. Although from an external point of view, you may have seen them sitting beneath a tree, scribing on a palm or bamboo leaf, something, some mysterious writing, and with practically oblivious to external necessity, saying internally, what is the condition? They're like drowning in waves of Krishna prem, amritam boniti, an ocean of Krishna prem, and it's the flow of gopi bhav. This means the heart. What's in the heart of the Braja gopis? How they see things, how they feel things. That feeling and that vision, they're extending to others. This was their idea. And we've come to call it Krishna consciousness. Right? Guru Maharaj liked very much that. Remember, Prabhupada coined this phrase, Krishna consciousness. It seems simple. But Guru Maharaj liked it so much because another way to express it is Krishna Chaitanya, or Krishna Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Remember when the time came for Mahaprabhu's sannyas name, there's a system for giving these names, how to select them. But Kesava Bharati turned to him and said, your name can only be Sri Krishna Chaitanya because you are extending Krishna consciousness to others. So what other name could be yours than Krishna Chaitanya? Of course, you know, that must be your name. Sri Krishna, and all the devotees, Jai, they're jumping for joy. Jumping for joy. Think, Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. And who is it? Srinivas Acharya's uncle, father, who was like, he was so stunned just by the going, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. When he went back to his hometown, people say, what happened there in Katwa? Tell us all about it. And he'd go, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And Guru Maharaj said, he became known as Chaitanya Das. Understandably so. So, and the, again, what sort of Krishna consciousness is Krishna distributing? We think, oh, such an egotistical thing. Wait, he's giving everybody consciousness of himself? right? What does it say? Jari gorna hoita tabiki hoite kamarni daritam dehe radhar mahima prima rasasima jagata janatake vasugosh. Incidentally, these big time commentators revealing how we should see things, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Vrindavan identity, Astasaki Tungavidya, Vasugosh, Astasaki identity, Sudevi. They're Astasaki saying, see, like this, saying, if he had not come down, if Krishna had not come down, this is what I'm going to say. Guru Maharaj, Guru Rupa Hari. What is the Guru Rupa of Krishna? Gaura. Guru Rupa Harim Gauram. What made him Gaura? Golden. Shama Sundar, who's normally this mysterious, beautiful, bluish, blackish color. What turned him golden? Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. And here Guru Maharaj is beautifully, poetically, Ruchi Ruchavritam. The what she's feeling, tasting, experiencing, the heart of Radharani covered in that, and her Ruchi also means beauty. The beauty of Srimati Radharani is her Krishna Prem. Krishna has descended as Mahaprabhu to celebrate that. So when he's extending Krishna consciousness to others, really she's the source of that, that deep, heartfelt Krishna Premic appreciation. And he's come to celebrate that, to extend that to everyone in the world, and to also personally taste and relish that. So, few chapters before this in the Bhagavatam, it's again the gopi vision, gopi bhav, from their hearts. When they see Govardhan, how do the Braja gopis appreciate that? They say, Hantaya Madhra Labala Haridasa Bharja Yad Brahma Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayas Tayoryat Pani Yasuya Vasakanda Rakanda Mulai. It's very interesting. And they say, Hantayam Adri Labala, this Adri means the mountain. Who are you? Haridas Varja. They're saying, not only Krishna, Haridas means the servant of Krishna. You are the servant of Krishna in so many wonderful ways. How wonderful you are. They're joyously celebrating the position of Govardhan and the seva of Govardhan. They're saying, why, what do we observe? That you're shivering in ecstasy at the Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. When the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram are touching you, your happiness knows no bound. Manam tanoti sahago ganayase pani yasuya vasakandara kandamula. And you're with your sweet waters, little ponds, streams that are there, they're producing the sweetest grass in Vrindavan, so that it's the best grazing place for the cows. And if we remember, factor in Vaikunthya Prithivyadi Sakula Chinmoy, that everything from the ground up in the Vaikuntha world is Chinmoy, then, as I once, thinking about this, ran by Guru Maharaj, I said, then the grass of Vrindavan would be sweeter than the grass of Vaikuntha. And before the words, I could finish saying them, Guru Maharaj said, of course. I thought I was having some profound realization about it. Guru Maharaj said, of course. Because even a simple statement, if we say, Nanda Maharaj, and they will take the cows to one part, and then they hear, oh, there's grass sweeter here. Then they move them to another place. And I thought, like, how, if it's all Chinmoy, how come it's not all, what's the word? Uniform, but in, like, monotonous is not a nice word. Monotony. Moan, that type of monism. Monotonous. It's not monotonous. So if they're sweeter here, I mean, some particular consciousness, Krishna consciousness, development of Krishna consciousness, that is so sweet and irresistible. So the gopi is saying, and your sweet, what? Pani, asuya, vasakanya, your sweet waters, and they're nourishing the soil, and then the sweet grass comes out, and then they say something that they don't choose to, as usual, to say much about, but they say, and so many caves are there. Elsewhere we'll find, what are those caves illumined by Chintamani gems, the place of their private path? They just, and so many caves are there also. Always their preferred method of expressing something is to seemingly draw attention to something else. Well, something else is only alluded to or implicitly understood in another way, because it's so confidential, so high, so wonderful, that in this plane likely to be mistaken or misunderstood, and not just by the lower section or fallen souls like yourself. We think, all right, people like we're apt to misunderstand, misread, misinterpret. But in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, and the number one sloka, those first three we learned from Bhaktivinoda Thakur were very important, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, as revealed to him by Swarup Damodar Goswami when he ordered him to present the Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, this extraction of slokas from Srimad Bhagavatam along the lines of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, saying, and these first three slokas can be understood in that way. First, Dharma janmadyasya tonvaya dhitaratas cha arteshu abhigyasvarat tene brahma hrida adikabaye muhyanti yatsuraya. If everything is coming from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and all the other rasas are but satellites of them, or clients, but necessary, then to understand, and this will be revealed, Gopi Bhava, heart-to-heart transaction. But what? Who will understand this? Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Even the gods will be bewildered in trying to properly estimate, grasp Krishna conception. Right? The Braja Gopis, they won't be bewildered. Right? But even the gods will be bewildered. And who are the gods? And this, you know, Brahma, the Brahma Vimohan Lila, Indra, even in the ninth canto, Shiva with Mohini Murti. We're saying, so it's not just that, you know, ordinary folks, they won't be able to. Say, even the gods will be bewildered in trying to properly estimate them. So if, say, if the gods cannot, then how will it be understood? From what is in the heart of Krishna's devotees? What is the title of that book of Gurudev by Siddhanti Maharaj? Religion of the Heart. Hridayena binu gato yo dharmasta nibodhata. But, so to demonstrate these things, and it must be consistent. If this is announced in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, then you could say, we might expect that there could be some pastimes where gods are bewildered in trying to determine Krishna's, assess his position. Right? Said it in the first verse. Must come in time. Brahma Vimohan. Indra Mohan. So, and Guru Maharaj will tell us the truth always concealed in the middle. That, in one sense, you could say means hiding in plain sight. But he's saying the Gita, first what, six chapters, last six, middle six, go in there. Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath. Govinda in the center. Krishna. Krishna Jateka Kela Sarvatam Naralya Naravapu Tahara Swarup. Gopavesh Venukar Navakishor Nadabar Naralila Hoy Anurup. Gods with thousands of arms have. And Krishna, too. Walking barefoot most of the time. Simple, you know, stick. In the side, it's a stick, you know, for tapping the count, go this way, go that way, bamboo flute, boisha, krishi go raksha bani jam, boisha karma swabhava jam. The vaishas, in one sense, are lower section because you have Brahmins, Kshatriyas. If you drew a line, there's four, right? Brahmins, Kshatriyas, draw the line. Vaishyas, so the Vaishyas are below the line, lower section of society. You're saying, no, God, he should be like the highest. And that would be some other that's there. Some other pastime, they're like that. But in these, the most confidential pastimes of Krishna, in the middle position, hidden there, in the lower section, what do they do? Goraksha. Cows is their wealth. And they're bartering butter, yogurt, all these things. So they, and they're, as Gurudev was saying, you know, simple-hearted Vaishnavas, devotee. Like Guru Maharaj said this statement, he said, like, Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. And I'm like, what? I thought you said, like, the highest section of liberated souls. And then he went on, he's like, Jnana Shunya Bhaktas. That's what he means. He's not talking about
ignorant fools, right? Tamogun goons. But Jnana Shunya Bhaktas means their hearts that flow, their love and affection for Krishna is so great that the Aishwarya Gyan, the majestic aspect, has gone so far in the background. It can come out. They can show their awareness of it at any time, according to necessity, but it's in the background. And I've tried to explain to people various times, even in this world, if someone's like the prime minister, the king, the president, to his mom, it's her boy, her son. It doesn't matter what achievement, position he's achieved in the world, it's still her son. The motherly affection eclipses the presidential, kingly, prime ministerial, majestic aspect. It's just irrelevant. That there can be a plane like that where someone could actually look at the central conception of the Absolute, the Supreme Absolute Truth, and everything that goes with it, and not be intimidated by that, or even aware of it, or it be a factor in their relationship, is inconceivable. But yet the default position of all of those who traverse that divine soil and Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan. So, and they just have so much love and affection for Krishna. It eclipses every other aspect or consideration. And so these, they may be simple-hearted men, but their thinking is that we're the Goel of the cowherd section. Our whole wealth comes from the cows. The cows, as those gopis said in that verse, they're eating those sweet grasses, which, and the ponds are there, and that's coming from the rain. And Indra Dev, he's the king of heaven and regulating the rain. And so it's only fitting that we should offer some tribute, as we do annually. We have the annual the annual Indra Yagya coming up. And they're gathering all the supplies, resources necessary to have a nice puja. Like we say, what I've seen in Bengal, when they say puja in Bengal, it only means one thing, Durga Puja. It's just called puja, but it means Durga Puja. And we see 1 month before they start making all these, what are they? The murtis, but also those big pandals, these huge, pardon me? Dioramas, but how to describe? I mean, they want to show Durga Devi in all of her glory and aspects, that she's everything. So that, like, they'll do the pyramids of Egypt, and you go inside the pyramid, and there looking is Durga Devi, and you know, with flanked by Ganesh and Kartikeya, or you know, and they're like Egyptians, and then they do another thing, and they, you know, they're showing like whatever you believe in the world, we got that. She's that. You know, besides just traditional 10-armed Durga Devis. You know. And so, but it's a big thing, and they, for a month, they're preparing, and then it lasts for so many days. Uh-huh. Here, they're going to do their annual Indra Yagya. They are assembling all the ingredients. They're going to have some sacrifice, make some offerings, some tributes. And again, it's not because they are primitives. It's because Gurumaharaj said they understand that they have the vision that behind everything you see in the objective world is ultimately consciousness, and consciousness means personality. So they're not just some foolish people thinking like, well, there's a god of rain and we must offer some, you know, no. whatever's behind this, there ultimately, there is a God of rain. And that those who's controlling the subtle forces of nature, and we want to show our appreciation for that. Right? So Krishna, seeing that all of this preparation for the annual Indra Yajna, says to Nanda Maharaj, what is this, Father? That everyone is doing? Is this one of those religious festivals people do where no one really knows why, but we just kind of do it every year? That's how he starts. And it's funny because what Krishna says in considering what this might be or the reasons for it, he gives all the things that people normally think about. So, but he starts there with saying, it's just something, it's like a tradition, no one really knows why, but we do it this way, and, you know, it's you know, we've always done it, and we'll continue to do it, and we're going to do it, we're doing it again. He said, or is there some other reason? No, and we do this, a tribute ended because of the rain, you know, coming, and we do the yajna, and when there's the gods are pleased with that, then the rain comes, and then he starts examining varieties of atheistic philosophies, suggesting them. We forget, he must be very acquainted with all the varieties of atheism. He supplies the breath of life and vocal ability to express these things and the mental system for contemplating them. It's not like he goes, oh, I didn't know that. That's a good point. He knows them all very well. So he's saying, well, there might be a flaw in that because we see that, like, it rains on places that don't need water. Like it rains on stone. Right? It rains on the road. It just doesn't rain, and you know, like on the crops. If what you're saying is true, then it should like rain on all the things that need rain and not rain on the places that don't need rain. But we see it just rains indiscriminately. So then that might make us think about the validity of what you're saying. And it rains on like the ocean. It also rains on rivers. It just rains all over the place. And he's saying, and also, if this is some kind of like religious thing where like you want to do good things and then, you know, then they'll be pleased. And he's saying, actually, whether or not there's gods or God or anything, just do what the right thing is. That you know. You do, and this is called karmavad, where we would say, whether there's God or not, does anybody really know? Come on. You know, you don't really know when it comes down to it. So, but what you do, you know right from wrong. So do what's right. And if there's a God, you're doing the right thing. If there's no God, you're still doing the right thing. Do the right thing. Right? And so in this way, it's actually in modern day, there's a whole line of philosophers like that. They call themselves pragmatists. And so, but what they've done is conveniently like remove God from the picture. Who knows? We don't really know. You mean like the Greeks when they go, I don't know if Zeus approves. Come on, you know, it doesn't matter. Just do the right thing. So in this way, karma becomes the supreme thing. And God becomes a secondary thing, you know. And then Chris, and also, I mean, he has no say-so about it. If you're doing the right thing, everything's fine. It's not like he can decide not to. Right? If what you say about this karmic action and reaction is true, he has nothing to say about it. And other cowherd men, they're, you know, and remember, Krishna is like this. He's like seven. We're told he's extraordinary, so really he's like 11. But he, because 1.5 times for the extraordinary personalities. So I, when he does these pastimes at 12, really he's 18, it's Vedic math. But they're listening, and some people are going like, I don't know about that, you know. And Nanda Maharaj is just like, if you say so, son, you know. And Krishna is saying, I think really, if you look at this objectively, that everything we get comes from Govardhan, has all the sweet grass, like the gopi said, the sweet grass, the sweet wine, everything we have is there in Govardhan. And it's really Govardhan who's nourishing us, caring for us, sheltering us, everything is there. So instead of worshiping Indra, why don't we just take all the stuff that you've ascended? It won't go to waste. In fact, let's just offer it all to Govardhan. We'll have the Govardhan Puja. And Nanda Maharaj's thinking, okay. The simple-hearted Gyanashunya Bhakti. Some, we're told some cowherd men go, I don't know, I mean, this could lead to, you know, like, no. And we're going to follow what this boy says. And Nanda Maharaj has so much affection for his son. You know, there's different ways, but they're also Gyanashunya Bhaktas. That's just to add a little drama. Yogamaya always like put in a little, there has to be some dramatic tension. But they ultimately go, okay, all right, everybody, announcement, you know, the annual Indra canceled, okay? Instead, we're going to worship Govardhan, like, jai! All the, turn the wagons, go this way. And then that because this is, there was no internet, but there was a more advanced system, actually, for, like, messages to spread. It reaches the ear of Indra in heaven. Because you're wondering, like, that Indra in your yogi is kind of, I don't shoot the messenger, but we've heard that they're going to be doing something different this year. What? And, you know, he can see what's going on, and you see this precocious boy, he's charming everyone and shifting everything to the puja, the worship of Govardhan. And then there's this thing like, how foolish can these people be? Right? They're all under the influence of this precocious child. Abala means a child. Bala means child, and Abala can mean like that, a reference. And he's just thinking, like, remember, Brahma makes the same mistake, but later, they should learn to communicate better, Indra and Brahma and all those gods. Because, well, we're told, it's deceptively charming, this position. How can this, first of all, someone who's like a man, doesn't have 10 arms or 1,000 in this particular aspect, but this charming human-like size, and not only as a human being, but here as a child, and everyone's going to follow what he says. That's the heart of the matter of devotion. Right. To just give oneself over to the will of Krishna. This famous Bhagavatam sloka, tadamritattam, what does it say? Bhagavan vichikirshito me. We were talking about this earlier. You could look at this verse and parse it in many ways and extract so many things. But Srila Gurudev put it simply in a sentence. What it's telling us is give Krishna what he wants. It's saying that's what devotion is. You give Krishna what he wants. Here, Krishna has expressed his desire. They're giving him what he wants because they're pure devotees. There's no other consideration, actually. No calculation in terms of how they will benefit or not, or how the world will turn against them, how their lives will be turned upside down. No such consideration. Just, this is what he wants, this is what we do. Right. Guru Maharaj said, if you have to ask why, it's not devotion. No, Nanda Maharaj, really, he's not saying why. He's ready to jump in this direction. And so they're so sweet, so pure-hearted, and they decide to have this Govardhan Puja. And we're told that when they're offering everything, that sometimes Govardhan is like showing arms are coming out and taking the offering, and then they can see like it's actually Krishna, and he's like eating everything that they offer and give. Right? But anyway, Indra, it's his ego that is offended, that can't tolerate this. It's always the ego. Right? His supremacy is being challenged. He can't tolerate it. He's sending all the weaponry, resources at his command, which are, you know, thunderclouds, lightning bolts. No. What's the other stuff that accompanies like heavy rain? Hail, right? Cyclones, storm, just everything in his toolbox. He's throwing them down there, and it appears that it's going to just totally devastate Vrindavan. And now the cows are afraid, the Nanda Maharaj and his group, the Brajaga, everyone, they're all in deep anxiety, full of fear. And they are, what do they do as a response? You say, like, seek some kind of shelter? No, they go to Krishna and saying, Krishna, it's because of you that we find ourselves in this situation. So you please help us. It says in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Brajadana Palana Asurakula, you know, Brajadana, you protect your devotees. So please. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that Yogamaya knows that when devotees are under the most adverse circumstances, when they have to deal with the greatest level of opposition, that what that does is it generates a superior quality of affection or prema in the hearts of the devotees. Because we could say from another point of view, how can Krishna tolerate that his devotees will be put in this type of anxiety? If the result is their hearts go deeper and deeper and start expressing an even sweeter, more irresistible type of love and affection towards him, then he can allow it. And so when they approach him this way, remember, their default position is pure love for Krishna. But if there are ways to make that love deeper, more intense, greater and sweeter, then Yogamaya will arrange the pastimes for those conditions to arise. So when Krishna sees how utterly dependent they are on him, and this condition has been brought about by their unquestioned willingness to give him what he wants. Right? What he wants really is their love and affection. But now it's come out sweeter, deeper than ever. He's so pleased with that. We're told that Krishna then, because they come to like the house of Nanda Maharaj and express this to him. Krishna's wearing this very beautiful turban and in his cowherd dress. And he starts running towards Govardhan Hill. And what is it called? His Samhariki Shakti creates sort of like an arch dome pathway so that not even one drop of water gets on his turban when he runs that way. And then what does he do? It says, Liloch Chilindram Data. He picks up Govardhan to the way a child picks up a mushroom, just like that. And with his left hand, he lifts the entire Govardhan hill, mountain, if you will, and tells all the bridge vasis, Radharani, Brajagopis, Nanda Maharaj, come take shelter under the umbrella of Govardhan. And they all, and with the cows, and they all come running, and they're there for 7 days. And we're told that they don't eat for 7 days, and nobody gets hungry or thirsty, because what are they? They're drinking the beauty of Krishna, the liquid beauty of Krishna. They're just intensely focused on Krishna, and that's nourishing them beyond what we can imagine. They're feasting on the beauty of Krishna, right? And he's there, and being the Gyanashunya Bhaktas that they are, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, Mother Yashoda saying like, how long can he hold it? From that point of view, he shouldn't be able to do it. She's saying like, he's only a boy. You know, all right, so he's holding, you know, but after a while, you know. And we're told it's because Krishna also wants to impress Radharani and the Brajagopis. And seeing them and out of the corner of his eyes and then drinking their beauty, or sometimes he's a little trembling and then it's like teetering, you know, whoa, you know, it's like a little bit this way, that way. Then cowherd men, they're holding with their sticks as if they're actually doing some, you know, like, we helped, you know, we were helping Gopal. But he's like that 7 days. But we're told the 7 days was like 24 minutes. It went by very quickly. And Indra, realizing the mystical power of that personality who he perceived to be a child and childlike in so many ways, that actually it's the supreme reality playing with me. And why is he doing this? My Lord is so kind that he saw some, as Gurumayur said, no pride will the Lord tolerate in the heart of his devotee. So he's saying like, so, you know, you're the king of heaven, could get a little bit overwhelmed with your position. And I don't like to see, I know he's really a devotee and what's really in his heart. This isn't good. Let me do something to remove that inauspiciousness from the heart of my devotee. You'd say it's humiliating on some level. Dostoevsky in one place says that humiliation is the most intense form of consciousness. Those of us who've experienced humiliation see the wisdom in that. You're very aware when you're utterly humiliated. So he's saying this will relieve him of that assertive ego, bring him to his knees, literally and metaphorically. So we're told that Krishna, when the when Indra desists from his inauspicious campaign, Krishna puts Govardhan exactly in the place, down to the atom. It's not like a little off or something. It's like perfectly replaces. Then some cowherd men, they're coming and says they're like massaging his left arm, and some they're like cracking the and his left hand to relieve whatever tension might be there 7 days, you know. That's so, like, they actually think like that. Because I'm feeling better now. Keep doing that. Yeah. And then Indra comes with, in the company of what? Airavata, his elephant, who appeared from where? The churning of the milk ocean. One of the, so that's some indication there. And Surabhi, the divine cow, and they come, and Indra, in this verse, which sort of encapsulate the holy, it says, Deve Varshati Yagya Viplava Vrsha Brajrasva Varsha Nilai Siddhat Palu Pashu Striyatma Sharanam Utskanukampam Utsmayam Utput Yeka Kulena Shailala Avalo Liloch Chilindram Jata Bibram Goshtam Mahindra Madhibit Priyana Indra Gavan. That to curb the pride of Indra, now what is happening? Indra's come and he's saying, remember, Indra means king, actually. Each one has a name. So Indra means the king, it means the king of heaven. So Indra's thinking, I may be the so-called king of heaven, so, but I see that you are the Gava Indra. You're the king of the cows, the lord of the cows. But that person who's the lord of the cows, you might think like, oh, is that lower than the king? No, I'm nothing. You're the, you know, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda. You are the original source of everything. My relative local kingship is nothing compared to you. And you've deceptively appeared as a cowherd to conceal your supreme position. So you're Gava, Indra Gava. And at that time, you know, he's being bathed by the milk of Surabhi, washed by the waters of Airavata. And he said, so when you say Gava, Indra together, becomes Govinda. Are you not Govinda, the Lord of my heart? So then we could understand, if Indra, he's an Adir Adir Govinda, but there will be some pastime where that name is conferred upon him. So that favorite name to all of us, if that comes from the mouth of Indra, then how exalted he is to play this part in these divine pastimes and bestow the name Govinda upon Krishna. And that Abhishek, the bathing of Krishna by the milk of Surabhi and the waters of Airavata, formed a kunda, which will be known as Govinda Kunda. Later, Madhavendra Puri will come there. Hare Krishna. So, just in conclusion, Srila Guru Maharaj will say, so, when we follow the suggestion or the impetus to pursue Krishna conception, to offer ourselves to the higher Vaishnavas as aspiring servitors in the Krishna consciousness movement, the world is against it. Let's just be blunt. The world and everything in it is against the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. And you find yourself at odds with it, perpetually. I remember this one line in a talk of Saraswati Thakur, he said, what is troubling us is what we call the world. Yeah, what is it? It's called the world. And whatever that means to you, we all have a slightly different variant of what the world is, but I think you know what I'm talking about, right? You have to be a deep thinker, scholar to understand, like Mara said, it's like the world that's like giving us trouble. I mean, even if we were not pursuing Krishna consciousness, it's a major problem, right? But what to speak of those who are pursuing Krishna consciousness, and it seems like everything is set up in such a way as to be an obstacle to the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. Right. So what we're being told here, and what is the primary anga of Sharanagati, Gopti Tvaya Bhunaro, to take shelter of Krishna, and saying like, if I'm your devotee, will you please save me from this? Save me from myself, right? Because the world, in another sense, is a construct of our own perceptions, acquired prejudice and acquired tendency. I'm saying, Guru Maharaj would sometimes say, God save us from our friends. I mean, God save us from our enemies. God save us from our friends. And we can add to that, God save us from ourselves. Right? We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. So that worldly, you know, that exists in here in our tiny skull-sized brains, this is where the assault is taking place. But we're told here, if, and we have Giriraj Govardhan here mercifully extending the Govardhan conception to us, if we can go against that current, depending upon Krishna to give us shelter and protection, then everything will be fine. It'll have the happy ending of a Govardhan pastime. Hare Krishna. Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Sri Govardhan puja ki jai, Nitai go premanande.
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava, Jaya Giri Badadari. Jaya Giri Badadari.
Jaya Gopi Jana Balava.
Gopi Jana Balava, Jaya Giri Banadari, Jaya Giri Banadari. Yasoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana. Jaya Jamunda Tirabanachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Jamunda Tirabanachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Jamunda Tirabanachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Tirabanachari Jai Kunja Bihari
Jaya Yamuna Tirabanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari
Jaya Yamuna Sangati Rabanachari Jai Kunja Bihari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Sutera Sabda Sri Srimad Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Shri Bhakti Rakak Srinar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhagawan Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharvika Giri Dhari Jiu Ki Jai Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Govardhan Puja Ki Jai Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Dham Ki Jai Sri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varenya Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Brinda Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Vimal Abhidhut Maharaj Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai, Jai Srila Paramananda Prabhu Ki Jai, Sri Bhakti Lalita Devi Ki Jai, Seva Vrinda Ki Jai, Samo Beda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nithai Go Premanande.